Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's such a wonderful opportunity for me to share God's word with you all, and I thank and praise God, and I thank Meditime Bible for this opportunity. And as we were driving up to the church, Victor and myself, we were just having a conversation, and Victor is an ardent fan of Formula One and car racing and all that. So he was just asking me, Mom, so what are you going to speak on? And I said, in car racing, so this is guy who's driving, but he hears instruction from someone on the comm, right? There's someone who's directing him as he's driving. And I asked him, so why does he do that? And he said, he gives him, instruction as to how he needs to, navigate on the track. So he gives some set of instructions bend right or things that only he can understand. And so if this person is driving, the driver, he can be really skilled, but if he does not really listen to what the person on the comm is saying or directing, he might not really win the race, or even worse, he might go off track, he might crash, and if he crashes, he can even others can crash alongside him. So I was saying, I'm going to speak something on similar thing, so there's this old story about a sailor who was getting lost at sea very often. He was quite skilled. So this was in the old times before, all this technology was there to help people, out at sea. And this guy was always getting lost at sea. And his friends used to go and rescue him and bring him back. So this sailor was quite an old guy, and he was not very savvy with few things. And so they just got him a compass, and they gave it to him and said, see, next time you get lost at sea, use this. And it will help you get back to land. But this guy was once again lost, and he got confused as to where the land is. And again, his friends had to go out and get him back to land. And they asked him, so why didn't you use the compass we gave you? And he said, I couldn't. I wanted to go north, but as hard as I try to make this needle aim that direction. So, you all would have used the compass, right? So he was trying to make the compass point to the north, but it just kept pointing southeast. So he thought he knew where north was. So that old sailor was certain which way was north, and he stubbornly was pointing that compass, using that compass to point it, forcing his personal will on the compass. And so he failed. So sometimes we have the compass, but we fail to use it. So God has given us two such tools to navigate this life journey. And we all are having to make decisions in our lives from the time we are aware, maybe not Kripa's age, but around 4 or 5 years, you have to make certain decisions. You start to begin making decisions until the time, you go prepare your funeral notes. And so we make decisions throughout our life. And God has given two such tools for us. One is a map, another is a compass. So if you can put up Galatians 5:25 for me, please. Okay. So, in NIV, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So, from verse 22, if you see, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So, Paul writes about, the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And he also goes on to say that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So, Keeping in step means, like, if you have a dance partner, if you're dancing with someone, or if you're going on a march, you know, the people or two people need to keep in step. They have to be in sync. And their feet need to move exactly with each other. So in Amos 3:3, it says, how can two people walk together unless they are in agreement with each other? So if you have a walking partner, like, you know, people choose to walk with each other, right? Go on a walk. So if one goes ahead, another goes behind or lags, you know, there's no fun in, or they're not in agreement. They're not together. They're not conversing together. So are we running this race or marching as good soldiers, Christian soldiers, in sync with God? So the compass and the map that I was talking about was the map is the Word of God and the compass is the Holy Spirit. So the Bible has many examples of great men of God who walked in step with God. Noah walked with God. We read clearly, like, Noah walked with God. The Bible says that. And Enoch walked with God. So Paul tells us in Galatians 5:25 that we are to move at the leading of the Spirit and at His pace and at His direction. So there should be a leading of the Holy Spirit, and then there should be a pace. We can't lag or we can't run ahead of God, and we also move along His direction. So we know Jonah moved on the opposite direction, right? But these people walked in the same pace as God. So coming back to the compass and map, the map is the Bible, which tells us, or it is a manual for us. If there's one book that's been handed over to us to live life, for any human being, it's something that has survived 6,000 years, and that's the Bible. And this is what we use to live our lives on earth. It also tells us about a destination. There's no other book that clearly tells us about where man will end up other than the Bible. It clearly tells us our destination, our eternal life. And it also gives us the way. What's the way? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation through Christ Jesus. And the Bible has the answers to all of our life questions. All of the questions we have about life, our purpose, why we are created, who is God, everything lies in this book. So, Psalms 119 verse 1. It says, Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So it talks about walking in the law. The law is the word of God. And Psalms 119 verse 1 or 5. Can you put 1 or 5? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So this world is filled with so many dark areas. There's so many dark areas we encounter in life. But God gives us the light to our path, and that's the word of God. And Psalms 119 verse 11. So how do we keep ourselves from sinning against God? Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So, you know, if we have God's word in our heart, that is, if we memorize them, you shouldn't go through the Bible. The Bible should go through you. That means you should have it in your heart so that, you know, when you are faced with temptations, when you are faced with problems in life, you don't sin against God. So, John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So when we say that, you know, I follow Christ, I'm a follower of Christ, And if His word doesn't abide in us and we don't abide in His word, then we are not really followers of Christ. When Jesus said, follow me, He said, follow me 21 times. He's told, follow me 21 times in the Bible. Not once, twice, thrice. He said, 21 times. And He says, like, my sheep follow me, my sheep hear me, or my sheep listens to my voice. So He's called all of us individually to follow Him, right? So when He said, follow Him, follow me, it's His teaching, His word, His lifestyle. And He followed what the Father asked Him to follow. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is the inspiration of Ruach, Holy Spirit, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, you know, in India, there's a brand of suits called Raymond. And it said, the complete man or the perfect man. There's no, just if you just wear a suit, doesn't make you complete. But what makes you complete is the word of God, mm-hmm. isn't it? And it is good, it's beneficial, it's profitable for correction, for instruction, for reproof or rebuke. And also it makes you complete. So this is the map that God, our Father, has laid out for us. And He asked us to follow in step with Him. And coming to the compass is the Holy Spirit. Some of the decisions that we need to make in life, we don't always, we find the answers or the guidelines in the Bible, but whom do I marry? What job do I take up? I've got three jobs. What job do I take? Or where do I settle down? All these require, you know, really the calm instructions. Everyday instructions, everyday guidelines, everyday on what to do, what not to do. We need the Holy Spirit. So John 16:13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you all things to come. So we see here, the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us. So that is the job of the Holy Spirit. He guides you every day in the truth, because we live in a world full of deceit and deception. Mm-hmm. What we see in the media, whatever we see, you know, around us is full of lies or half-truths. And we need the Holy Spirit clearly, especially when raising children, you know. We really need the Holy Spirit's guidance in order to know what is the truth. What is the truth according to the Word of God? What is the truth that Jesus preached? Because He's the truth. And Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So God says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are sons of God. So we have to ask ourselves, am I led by the Spirit each and every day? Because I claim to be a child of God. So am I led by the Spirit every day into eternal destiny, into what God has purposed for me? What's my purpose here? Why am I called into His kingdom? There must be something, right? There must be a purpose for all of us who are being called. We have all been given a job, a call. And for us to know that, we have to be led by the Spirit of God, because we are sons of God. Holy Spirit always points to Jesus, just as the compass points to north. So, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have the clear guidance, you're hearing Him and in sync with Him, He will always point you to Jesus, not southeast. Always points to north. So John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So, you know, a lot of the churches, lot of the churches, like, you know, some of them or some of the preachers, they can claim to have the Holy Spirit. But what we should be aware is that person pointing to Jesus? Like, John the Baptist always bore witness to Jesus. So, and if that is not there, if you have, there's so many abundance of resources on YouTube, you know, you can just click and here's a message. But you're going to be very sensitive to what you're hearing. There's so many different teachings and doctrines. But it's only the Holy Spirit who will point you to Jesus. And John 14:26 says, 15:26. This one 14. Okay. Maybe I'll get it. Okay, 1 minute, I'll just. John 14:26. Okay. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit will teach you and he will remind you of everything that Jesus has spoken. So all the teachings of Jesus, you know, how did the disciples remember? Like, long after Jesus had gone. Because it was the Holy Spirit that inspired them to remember and write it down for us to follow. So it is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you on everyday aspects of life, on how to live your life in a godly manner, how to raise your children, how to do ministry at church, how to serve one another, and how to grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, let's look at some of the examples of people who went ahead of God. So, just for us to have few examples, it's always good to look at people's life and see where we stand, right? So Saul, King Saul in 1 Samuel 13. So King Saul has been recently ordained as a king by Samuel, Prophet Samuel. And what happens is, he's fighting the Philistines. So there's this army of Philistines, a strong, you know, nation, which is coming against Israelites. So Saul is advised by Prophet Samuel, see, look, wait 7 days, I'll come, and together make a sacrifice, and then you can go sacrifice to the Lord, and then you can go into battle. So Saul waits almost seven days. On the seventh day, he couldn't wait any longer. And the whole army is, like, you know, getting restless. So what happens to Saul is, he becomes impatient and he thinks, okay, I can do it myself. What's the difference? I'm a king and I can make a sacrifice to the Lord. So what he does is, he makes sacrifice to the Lord. And just as he was sacrificing, Prophet Samuel comes and he says, why did you do that? Such a foolish thing. Why did you do a foolish thing? And he admonishes King Saul and he says, well, all I did was, I waited for you for 7 days and then, you know, I went ahead. And he said, no, because of this, you will not be able to win the battle. And, you know, it doesn't make sense, right? What did he do wrong? But the thing is, like, he was self-reliant and he disobeyed the instruction given to him. It might sound small, but disobedience in sight of God is a big sin. And not only that, only a prophet or a Levite can make a sacrifice and not a king. So, in this context, so that's why, you know, Saul was not able to be successful in the battle. And we also see that because the Holy Spirit is not in him, or the Spirit of God was not in sync with his spirit, he didn't hear from God much. So what he did is, he started to consult mediums and, you know, to make decisions. He didn't know, as a king, he had to make so many decisions. So he didn't know how to make decisions, so he started to consult mediums and, you know, soothsayers. And these days, we run after prophets and man of God to hear, you know, give me a word, I need a word. There's nothing wrong in it, but that should not be your orientation. You are capable of clearly hearing from the Holy Spirit because He resides in you.
Yes, amen.
And He is your moral compass, He is your spiritual compass, and He will always give you what decisions you need to make. So, nothing wrong against consulting with the man of God, but you have to hear from God, and you have to see whether what has been prophesied over you is in alignment with what the Holy Spirit has told you in His word and when He speaks to you. And in contrast, we see David always inquired of the Lord. He will say, Bible clearly says, David inquired of the Lord. David inquired, for every battle he will inquire of the Lord. Lord, should I go? Will I be successful? And he would wait and hear from God to reply. And another set of people is in Numbers 14. What happens is Israel refuses to enter into the promised land. So God brings them to the verge of the promised land, and He shows them Canaan, and He says, look, this is the land. You know, imagine how God might be so excited to show His people, look, this is the land that I'm giving. And these guys, these people, it's like stiff-necked, stubborn people. It's like, oh no, we are not going ahead. There are giants there. The Canaanites are like huge people. We are grasshoppers, so we are not going to go ahead. So they didn't trust God. They just completely forgot how God led them through a pillar of fire and cloud, and He brought them through the Red Sea. They forgot all that. And they refused. They simply refused to go into the promised land because their spirits were not in alignment with God. But verse 24, Numbers 14, verse 24. Do you have it? Have it there? Numbers 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. So, you know, Caleb and Joshua, the only two guys who go as a spy and then come back and give a good report, and they say, look, that's the land. That land is perfect. And God has already given it to us. So he makes a declaration that, you know, God has given it to us.
Yeah.
So, and he exhorts the people, but then they refuse. They simply refuse, these two guys. But God says about Caleb, wow, imagine the testimony that God gives about Caleb. That he follows him. He has a different spirit. And he follows him wholeheartedly. So Caleb was able to inherit, him and his descendants were able to inherit, and the rest of the Israelites could not enter into the promised land. So that's where, you know, their spirit was not in sync with, or not in step or in alignment with God. Matthew 16, 22, 23, we see that here, Peter, who is in a very close circle with Jesus, right? But then when Jesus talks to him about His crucifixion, the plan of God. See, look, this is what the will of God is, and, you know, I'm going to go and be crucified on the third day, I will rise again. So he's talking about the plans and, you know, what's going to happen with his close circle. And Peter gets upset. He says, no, that's not happening, Lord. And he goes and admonishes Jesus. Look at the nerve of this guy. He goes and says, no, you're not going to die on the cross. What are you talking about? And then Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind on human things, not on divine things. So a lot of the decisions we make in life, we have to look whether there is, you know, there is a divine or a spiritual aspect to what decisions I'm making. It can't just be for you, about you. Everything that you do as a Christian, it's about the kingdom of God. I think one of the songs that we sang is like, you know, it's not me, it's for the kingdom's cause. So every little decision, right from the job, the place, how you raise your children, how you set example to those in your workplace, everything should be with the mind of Christ, with the divine things, things above in mind. And that's how our spirit should be. So, and another example would be Ananias and Sapphira. So these two believers in the early church, you know, they had such a good heart. They wanted to sell a property and give it to God's kingdom. But what they did was, they withheld a portion of the money and brought the rest to Peter. Paul. And what happens is, what they did was not bad, right? I mean, it's your property, you sold it, and you took a part of the money. But what they did was, they deceived the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Satan uses just a small lie, not a big thing, a small lie. And because their spirit was not right, their spirit was not true, and so they dropped dead, both of them. So sometimes we think what we are doing is in alignment with the Spirit of God, with His Word. But there might be even a small, slight lie can cost us. You know, it can cost us, it can cost our testimony. That's far worse. You know, because right now we're reading about Ananias, Sapphira's mistakes, right? So it could cost us testimony. So, some of the people who walk in step with the Lord. So, briefly, I'll just talk to you about, you all know about Enoch. Enoch was a very, 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 pure man. And he walked in alignment with God. And so, God spared him death. He did not face death. He got caught away with the Lord. The Lord took him. And we see Noah, among all the people, you know, the whole earth was filled with wickedness. But Noah was the only man. God gives a testimony about him saying that, you know, he was a pure man, a holy man, a man of God. And he was spared the whole flood, whole destruction. And we see about King Josiah. So, these Israelites, they had many, many kings. And if you read about the kings, it's a good life lesson for all of us, you know. How one generation is good and the next generation is bad and the next generation is good. And the Bible clearly tells about how some of these kings, they were not devoted to God. They went in the wicked ways of their father, that's what it says. And they followed after the practices, evil practices of the nation. So those verses will be repeated throughout about the kings whose heart was not after God. But this king, Josiah, he was a little boy when he was ordained king. And in 2 Kings 23:25, it says, 2 Kings 23:25. You have it? And this king was the one who abolished all the practices of idolatry in the nation. He smashed all the sacred places, you know, the places of worship for idols, and he cut down the Asherah poles, and he ruined all the altars of Baal. So he put an end to the idolatry practiced in Israel. So the Bible says, now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any rise like him. So this king, God gives a testimony about him, saying his heart was turned fully, or he followed the Lord fully with all his strength, his soul, his heart, his mind, with all his might. So imagine that, you know, among all these kings, God picked him, and there was no king before him or after him. And also, if you read about Paul's journey, you know, Paul made 3 journeys, right? Missionary journeys. And do you think Paul could do it he was a wise guy, he was a scholar. But do you think all the decisions that he made it on his own? No. Because we read in Acts chapter 16, he wanted to go to Asia to preach. And he's getting himself ready to go to Asia to preach. But then we read that the Spirit of Jesus stopped him from preaching in Asia. And that is Galatia and Phrygia. And he redirects him to go to Macedonia to preach there, because there was a person praying for Paul to come to Macedonia to preach to them. So he was in alignment with Jesus. So every time he made a journey or every decision that he made, he was listening to the Spirit of Jesus. He was listening in sync with the Spirit of God. And so God redirected him to Macedonia. So how do we walk in step with God? One is aligning yourself with the Word of God. Park your vehicle within your way. You'll fail your exam if you don't. Especially the reverse parking, right? If your tire is, wheel is on the white line, you fail. So always align completely yourself to the Word of God. Your actions, your motives, your thoughts should be in line with the Word of God. And we read about the early church. Whenever the word was preached, they would go home and refer and see whether what was preached was in line, was right according to the word. And be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Ask God for a discerning heart for everyday decision. So this is an exercise, this is a practice, right? So every day we have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a discerning, sensitive heart. And recent times, you know, having Kripa, I'm asking God to give a discerning heart to what our needs are. It's as small as that. And it can be like bigger decisions too. Seek God through prayer. And just like David, inquire of the Lord. Don't just pray. Wait, hear God talk back to you. So Paul was successful in all his journeys because he heard Jesus talk back to him, right? So it's a practice that we need to put forth, where we don't just pray. It's not one-way conversation, but we hear him back too. Another important thing is be in fellowship. We should make it a practice to be in church, to attend as much as possible the home groups, the men's fellowship, the ladies' fellowship. Bring your children to the kids' meeting. Why? Because if you put a single ember out right now, a small piece of burning ember out, it'll die out. It'll look as if it's burning, but then after some time it'll die out. But imagine if you have a few logs together, it'll not die out. You can keep adding to it and the fire will not be put out. So in order for the fire of God not to be put out in us, we have to come together in fellowship. We have to meet with each other, pray with each other, find a prayer partner or pray together, come together as two families and pray. Because this is how the ancient church was, the early church was. They came together all the time. They broke bread, they sang. Because the fellowship is very important. We are a people set apart for God, and we need to be in fire with God. So the modern GPS that we have, besides all that, the modern GPS that we have today, right? The Google Maps, I was just thinking, like, anytime you take a wrong turn, it'll say rerouting, and then it takes you right back, puts you right back on path. God is so good.
Amen.
Yeah, and if you take a wrong decision, if you take a wrong turn, he's so good, he's so loving, and you can trust the Lord that he will reroute you back, put you back on the path to eternal life, so that you will fulfill your purpose, your destiny in life. He is with you in the boat, he is with you in the wilderness, and he will take you ashore to the promised land. But we have to remember that we have to keep in step with God, stay in track with Him, and park in your way. Thank you. Amen.